Okay, our next talk this afternoon is Ashley Reuter, and she is from Canberra and type 1A supernova subclasses and their progenitors. And Ashley, 15 minutes, and I'll give you a 5-minute warning.
Great, thank you. I'd like to thank the organizers, first of all, for helping me to arrange childcare for my 3 kids for this meeting, and also for giving me an opportunity to talk to you. I realize most of the talks today have been very focused on core collapse type supernovae, but we're going to switch gears a little bit. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about exploding white dwarfs. So this is a plot showing, where's the laser on here? Is it this? Yeah. Basically showing a myriad of different thermonuclear explosions, showing their peak luminosity versus a parameter that essentially, a quantity that parameterizes their light curve width. So basically the brightest events are up here in this corner. You can see this line here. This is the Phillips relationship. So this is basically the empirically derived relationship that makes type 1A's important cosmological probes. And all these gray crosses kind of go along this line reasonably well. However, we're finding more and more of these thermonuclear events that do not follow the Phillips relationship at all, right? So probably only at most 70% of type 1As are so-called normal, meaning useful for cosmology. But you have a bunch of other types of events like 91BGs and calcium-rich transients and 1AXs. And what I do is I use binary population synthesis modeling to try to figure out which progenitor channels could potentially make different thermonuclear explosions. So I'm just going to go over a little bit what might make a type 1A. And so it's canonically been the jargon to say, oh, you know, is it a single degenerate or is it a double degenerate kind of scenario? I personally don't really like to categorize type 1As that way because I think it just makes things a bit more confusing. Because actually, I prefer to actually characterize type 1As more based on the type of explosion mechanism you would have. So Chandrasekhar mass white dwarfs that explode have a very different explosion mechanism than sub-Chandrasekhar masses that explode. And I guess I should also mention this. So it was maybe about 9 years ago where there was a real paradigm shift. I was finishing my PhD around then. I think this was the beginning of a real paradigm shift in the type 1A community when people started to think, oh, actually, probably not, you know, the textbook single degenerate Chandrasekhar mass explosions. Those probably don't make the bulk of type 1As, or at least maybe they're not, you know, a huge fraction, though probably they're still out there. But in we think now that a lot of type 1As actually come from these mergers of double white dwarfs. But basically, you can have single degenerate channels happening for an exploding Chandrasekhar mass white dwarf, where the companion is either rich in helium or hydrogen. You can have a single degenerate sub-Chandrasekhar mass white dwarf explosion, where the white dwarf accretes a layer of helium on the surface, which detonates at some point, driving a secondary detonation near the center of the white dwarf, and you get a type 1A. So these are usually called the classic double detonations. And of course, you can have the double degenerate white dwarf mergers. In this case, you could plausibly first accrete the primary up to the Chandrasekhar mass, and then you explode in a similar way that you would in this first case here. But we think probably more than likely the primary white dwarf, so the one exploding, is sub-Chandrasekhar mass when it actually explodes. Okay, so maybe on the order of one or so solar masses. Okay, so I'm going to show a few plots in this talk. Preliminary plots basically for one particular model realization from my binary population synthesis. And details about the common envelope formalism are found in my 2019 paper. Essentially in population synthesis in these rapid simulations. So my one simulation doesn't take like $1 million like Jeremiah's does, so mine are much cheaper. I can evolve millions of binaries in 24-hour time, of course skipping a lot of the details. But overall, I'm interested in figuring out, you know, what's the general population going to look like. So common envelope formalism, basically when you have unstable mass transfer, we have to characterize how that mass is lost to derive what the final separation will be after a common envelope. And every type 1A has to go through at least one common envelope, and this is still quite an uncertain phase of binary evolution. So this is, I'm just showing results for one particular model. Okay, so for the Chandrasekhar mass models, we know, based on nucleosynthesis arguments, that you need to probably have at least some fraction of very massive, so near Chandrasekhar mass explosions happen in nature, to explain the solar abundance of manganese. Also, I think in the last few years or so, this sort of classic textbook Chandrasekhar mass channel has been the favored one that could explain these faint they're called type 1AX supernovae. Florian has a poster about that out there. So essentially these type 1AXs, they're sort of one of the peculiar type 1As. They have low ejective velocity or low expansion velocities. So I'm going to show you some plots about how the delay time, basically the ages of the Chandrasekhar mass explosions change as a function of metallicity. So I'm going to show you some slightly confusing plots, but it's not that bad. So basically going from lowest metallicity here, so Z of 0.0001, to 20% solar here, roughly solar metallicity here, and then supersolar here. So what's plotted is the delay time distribution. So assuming you have a burst of star formation at T equals zero, and you let all your stars go and see when you get explosions, this only goes up to 300 megayears because I only get helium-rich donor scenario channels in the very, very low metallicity case. That's the main punchline here. Whereas when you get at higher metallicities, you can make the sort of textbook Chandrasekhar mass explosions with hydrogen-rich donors. It turns out, and you make a few of them along the way, but really it's just hard to accrete that much hydrogen on the white dwarf to build it up to Chandrasekhar mass. So you have different progenitor channels, however, that as you go to lower metallicity, you make more and more of these helium-rich donor channels. And in this very low metallicity case, you don't make any of these orange, which are the helium-rich donor ones, because in that particular formation channel, what happens, you know, for these ones that you would make a supernova at this higher metallicity, when you go to lower metallicity, because of the lower stellar winds, you don't make a CO white dwarf, you actually make an oxygen neon white dwarf. So that white dwarf is probably not going to explode as a type 1A, although there's still a little bit of debate about that. Right, so that's just summarizing what I just said. Okay, so for the Chandrasekhar mass now, so this is now that sort of middle panel that I showed where you have a sub-Chandrasekhar mass white dwarf accreting from something helium-rich. So that could be a helium white dwarf or it could be a hydrogen-stripped helium-burning star. It turns out, so I'm not showing delay times for this one. This time I'm showing the mass of each star at time of explosion. So the delay times are actually bimodal, which I'm not showing here, but basically in blue, this is just showing the accretor mass, so the exploding white dwarf mass is always roughly around one-ish in the double detonation channel. This on the left is showing the double degenerate channel for sub-Chandrasekhar mass Rochlob overflow systems, whereas on the right showing the single degenerates, right? So the donor mass is the main difference here between these channels, and this is all solar metallicity, is the mass of the donor at explosion. So in the case where you have a single degenerate explosion, assuming you can detonate that helium and that drives that secondary detonation near the core and you get a type 1A, you would have possibly a lot of other mass lying around there when you have the explosion. And so, that's maybe one potentially interesting thing for this audience, because I don't work on supernova remnants, but I'm wondering sort of, how can we kind of decipher these types of channels through looking at these remnants? I don't know if it's possible, but maybe if anyone has any ideas, that would be great. Okay, now looking at the white dwarf mergers a little bit. So earlier when I showed that slide of the cartoon, talking about double white dwarf mergers, we think that maybe a lot of type 1As, at least a decent fraction of them, come from mergers of two carbon-oxygen rich white dwarfs. And the explosion actually occurs before that more massive white dwarf reaches the Chandrasekhar mass. Some of these CO-CO white dwarfs might actually make accretion-induced collapse systems and form a neutron star. And then there's lots of other different types of white dwarf mergers. You can get much lower mass ones. Some of like helium ones would make SDO stars, for example, probably. You get helium CO white dwarf mergers, which probably many of them make R Coronae Borealis stars, which are a type of variable giant star. But it's plausible that maybe some fraction of these helium-rich white dwarfs merging with the CO white dwarf could make 91BG-likes. So these are a fainter type of type 1A supernova. And I just wanted to reiterate or mention or remind people that helium white dwarfs are only made in binary evolution. So the universe isn't old enough to actually make helium white dwarfs from single stars. So a helium white dwarf is essentially a red giant that was stripped of its outer envelope, and you're left with this helium core that's degenerate. It's not burning anything else anymore. And so you can have a mixture of some carbon in there or just pure helium. And this is just showing sort of a typical evolutionary channel that would lead to one of those mergers between a helium white dwarf and a CO white dwarf, which, yeah, we don't know. They make something. They happen in nature, most likely. At least I predict a lot of these. Some of them might make 1As. A lot of them probably make R-core bores. Some of them might do something else. Maybe these calcium-strong gap transients. So this is just, I'll just quickly show this. This is now for carbon-oxygen white dwarf mergers, showing the total mass at explosion, so from 0.5 to 2 or so. This is for two different metallicities. Okay, so this is solar, and this is 20% solar. It turns out that you make about a factor of 2 more white dwarf mergers at lower metallicity. And this is basically because the fact that you have the stellar winds are not as strong, you end up going through different evolutionary channels, and you favor close binary interactions more than you would in the solar metallicity case. These orange ones here show these are the CO-CO mergers that are more likely to make 1As, the so-called violent mergers, where the white dwarf is at least one solar mass at merger, whereas the blue just shows the whole, like all CO-CO mergers of any mass combination. So, I'll just give my summary now. So, essentially, the Chandrasekhar mass channel is, again, probably the best candidate now to explain the type 1AX supernovae. In particular, people tend to agree, although correct me if someone disagrees, that this is probably, these type 1AXs are very likely to come from the channel where you have a hydrogen-stripped helium-burning star as a donor, because they do happen in very young environments. And those systems happen with delay times less than 300 megayears. the sort of the classic double detonation case, this is this out of the three kind of panels I showed earlier, this is probably the one that has been studied the least, although many different groups are working on it. It's still unclear how much helium is actually acceptable, that otherwise if you have too much helium at detonation, you might make the light curve look like something very strange. And although we're finding a lot of other strange stuff, so who knows, maybe they actually do make something. And then you have the white dwarf mergers, which seem to be very good candidates at plausibly explaining the bulk of type 1As. Their delay time distribution looks really good compared to observations. The rates, theoretical rates of these mergers are within a factor of a couple, which is actually pretty good for astronomy, or a factor of a few. And it's possible that a subset of helium-CO mergers might, the ones that have very long delay times that kick in late, they might actually explain 91BGs. So that's explained in this paper by Crocker et al. In Nature Astronomy from 2 years ago. And so basically my main sort of question to this meeting is, can remnant observations help to delineate between some of these different formation channels? And as you can see, there's quite a few of them. And so Ivo Zeichensaal will talk on Wednesday morning a little bit about this. And this is my last slide, and I just wanted to mention that we are looking for PhD students at UNSW Canberra. And so I've highlighted in cyan the people here at this meeting. So Nigel has a couple of posters up. So if you know of any prospective PhD students that are interested to study supernovae and related transients, either theoretically, either through theory or observations, feel free to talk to me about it, and I'll stop there. Thanks.
Hello. Hi. It was a very interesting talk. But my question is, like, if we put all of these paths together, is can we really reproduce the supernova 1A ray that we observe? And what about the delay detonation, the delay, the DDT
distribution?
Yeah, the delay time distribution. Always we have a problem. Do we have improvement?
So if you put, so again, it depends a little bit on the metallicity and a little bit on the common envelope formalism. But if you say include all these potential progenitors and you lump them all in and you look at the delay time, unfortunately, I don't have a plot of that, but it's really dominated by the COCO mergers. So you would still have something, if you include all of the double degenerates with white dwarf donors, you might get something a bit steeper than a T^-1 power law. Actually, you would get like something like T^-1.5 or something. But it's the single degenerates, at least in my models, it's really hard for me to make a lot of them. They're at least a factor of 10 or more often below the double degenerates, so they don't have much influence on the delay time distribution. Everyone, it's 12:30 or 1 o'clock for me almost so, in the morning. I understand people are tired.
For the different channels you showed, do you have a favorite that might produce a 1ACSM?
The 1ACSM, right. I think if I had to pick a favorite, plausibly one of the Chandrasekhar mass progenitors with a donor that's at least one solar mass. So you could have that from a helium burning or hydrogen burning star. That would be my sort of off the top of my head answer. Yeah.
My question is sort of like Nathan, but for the calcium-rich transients. And you kind of threw that name out there every so often.
Yeah.
And you include the plot, like so many do, that this is potentially a thermonuclear explosion.
Right.
Or we've offered, I don't think the case is closed.
I agree.
Right? I'm just wondering about progenitor channels that you've considered perhaps in that class of explosion.
For the calcium-rich or calcium-strong gap transients,
That's right.
So actually, I gave a talk on white dwarf mergers in Armagh last year, and I said, "Oh, a lot of these helium white dwarf mergers have a lot of reasons to think these might be the 91 BGs. The only problem is we're not sure how to explode them, but everything else falls into place." And then I had a few people at the meeting say, "Oh, these look like great candidates for the gap transients." But I personally, because I believe these weird transients, right? They're found usually quite far from the host galaxy, or from the plane of the galaxy, right?
A non-negligible amount, that's right.
Yeah, so I mean, presumably something involving a helium donor and some sort of ejection mechanism, probably to get them out, maybe three-body. I mean, some people are now working with, so I do binary evolution, but some people are now doing triples, and maybe possible to somehow eject them, something with a helium donor and a CO white dwarf. But again, I agree, it's not clear that they are thermonuclear. Yeah.
Okay, any last questions
for Ashley? Thanks for a great talk, Ashley. A question, when you were showing the models for low metallicity and late delay times, there seemed to be a whole number of hydrogen donors triggering type 1As. These were presumably single degenerate explosions happening at late times.
Yeah.
Would that predict then, say, like the LMC, which has lower metallicity, should have a higher occurrence rate of single degenerate 1As now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. A good point. Yeah, exactly. Again, like I have a lot of data, and I haven't done a full comparison of all the different models. And for some of these delay times, for some of the channels, you do see changes if you use a different common envelope formalism. But I need to investigate if that trend is still there overall. In general, I find that when you change the common envelope prescription, which is quite uncertain, you don't really change the overall rates too much, but you do change what types of formation channels contribute to the rates. Yeah.
Okay, let's thank Ashley again.